Christmas was coming, and all through the land, people were shopping with boxes in hand, buying presents and candies and cookies and hats, electronic gizmos and outfits for cats, and games. Oh, the games! There's new ones this season, from Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft for some reason. Shiny consoles filled with fun satisfactions, newfangled controllers, and microtransactions. But one man wasn't happy. In fact, he was mad. He saw gaming as something far worse than a fad. Peering down at the village from his ramshackle shack, on a craggy cold mountain lived the one known as Jack.
"Bah, game," snarled the Jack. "It's no fun to me. But tomorrow those losers will be all playing Wii, and Xbox, PlayStation, the DS, and more. Games filled with tits, profanity, and gore."
And as he pondered, he grew more upset.
"Why, this will be the most violent Christmas time yet. They'll be playing Sin down there,"
he cackled with rage.
"From bullying, Nintendogs, and even Brain Age. Their urge to kill will increase with their hand-eye coordination. Then they'll kill all their neighbors over winter vacation. Next, they'll trap girls in a mansion and watch them have sex with their Sega Genesis CD-ROM 32X.
And the more Jack thought of the carnage below, the more the Jack thought,
"These games have to go. I'll take all their games and clear all the shelves, like a reverse of Santa and all of his elves. Destroy all the consoles. I must do it now."
But he hadn't the foggiest notion of how.
"They'll let me break in if I appear to be famous,"
thought the Jack with a grin, for he was really quite shameless.
"I'll dress up as someone that makes them jack off. Why, with this vest and some shorts, I'll be Lara Croft."
But he wasn't raiding tombs, that mean old man Jack. He planned to take all their games and not bring them back.
"You're an asshole, Mr. Jack. In your lonely, dirty loft, I hate to have to say it, but you look nothing like Lara Croft, Mr. Jack. You're cutting into the profit margins of Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft."
With his legs shaven clean and his costume all done, Jack descended the mountain to steal all the fun.
"First I'll go to the store and buy all the systems I can, box them all up and send them back to Japan."
And that nasty old Jack was as good as his word. He bought them and shipped them, that greasy old turd.
"Now it's on to their homes,"
said Jack as he left the UPS store.
"Under their trees, I'm sure to find more."
So he came to some houses at the top of a hill, slid down the chimney in his bag he did fill. With all of the presents he found under their trees, Xboxes, DSs, and all 8 PS3s. Taking everything in sight and not the least bit sorry, he even went to the basement to steal an Atari.
"You're a mean one, Mr. Jack. You really need a clue. There's this thing called the First Amendment that doesn't only apply to you, Mr. Jack. You're a self-serving, soapboxing, egotistical, headline-grabbing douchebag, and you smell funny too."
Jack made his way to the very last house on the street. He was quite wily and very discreet. But for all of his caution and all of his care, as he went to leave, he saw a young lass standing there. Though she was a girl, her parents had named her Clive. This unfortunate child was no more than 5.
"Why are you taking our systems, Lara Croft? Why?"
the badly named tot asked with a tear in her eye. The Jack was caught, PlayStation in hand, and the little girl thought he looked more like a man.
"My dear little child,"
he said in his best Angelina Jolie, and though he be a lawyer, his lie came quite slowly.
"The blue diode is missing. It's abundantly clear. I'll fix it in my workshop and bring it back here."
Then he sent her to bed, though she wanted a drink.
"My dear little child, you're too short for this thing."
Jack's chloroform put her soundly to sleep, then back up the chimney the scoundrel did creep.
"He flabbergasted me, Mr. Jack. What target could be next? You'd say Pac-Man Jr.'s evil, since it implies Pac-Man had sex, Mr. Jack. Between the choice of the two of you, I'd pick the erectile dysfunctional Tyrannosaurus Rex!
Then Jack left the village. His job had been done. He'd robbed all the houses of everything fun.
With these games gone, they'll lose their reason to kill,
said Jack as he drove toward a Nevada landfill. He backed the truck up to the edge of the pit, and as it slowly slid down, he waited a bit.
Now I will listen to the sounds of peace. With these video games gone, all violence will cease.
So Jack turned toward the village, put a hand to his ear, and waited while Christmas morning grew near. But then what he heard was not what he wished. These voices weren't happy. In fact, they were pissed. Without games to placate them, folks turned on each other. Brothers fought sisters, and husbands fought mothers. The town was engulfed in a mighty uproar, more violent than anything in God of War. Jack was confused by the screams from the grotto.
How can they kill without Grand Theft Auto? They killed without Bully, or Halo, or Black, Gears of War, Manhunt, or Demon Attack!
Then the Jack realized that it was no baloney, that Cain had killed Abel without owning a Sony. And what happened next? Why, in Nevada, they say, that Jack's tiny little brain grew three sizes that day. He then pulled the truck from the pit. It was easy, you see, for Jack now had the strength of 10 lawyers, times three. He drove back to town and unloaded the truck. Some people weren't dead yet, so he was in luck.
I guess I was wrong,
said the Jack to the town as he stepped off the truck and passed the systems around. And off to the side, he saw a familiar sight. The little girl Clive smiling up with delight.
You fixed my PlayStation and bought me a Wii!
Cried the little child, her heart full of glee. Then Jack joined the games with little cajoling, and Jack, yes, the Jack, won at Wii Bowling. Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 9, the Christmas special. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Yes, and we have to excuse our sound quality. Jason Jones doesn't have his normal high-quality SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs headset. He has his old headset.
I have some low rent.
That we stole out of a World of Warcraft person's off his computer desk. I'm sure he won't know.
Yes.
Because he's not here, otherwise he probably would be like, I have a raid tonight, I need that.
Hopefully he won't go and do meth instead, no.
Probably be better off. Okay, we have basically just two topics for this podcast. Topic one, and they're both related, topic one is violence in video games. You know, obviously you probably saw this coming from the intro. We're going to talk about violence in video games over the ages, what we think is what we consider to be a violent video game, games we think are kind of over-criticized for it, and the positive aspects of violence in video games. The second topic are the ESRB ratings, and does the system work, basically, which is a good follow-up to the violence thing, or at least so we think. So, yeah. Well, what do you think, right off the bat, Jones, in violence in games in general, what's your, like, one-sentence opinion on it, or what's your take?
I think, for the most part, it's good. It's kind of like with movies, if it fits the story, then it's good to have it in there. It's,
right, you don't want to see Rambo handing someone flowers.
Exactly, so it's like
I got these flowers, let's be friends. Rocky Six.
Oh, wait, you're dead.
But yeah, so it was like we were talking about earlier, like for me, work is very frustrating some days, and I come home, and it's just nice to be able to blow Nazis away in Call of Duty 2, or, you know, take out Locust Horde members in Gears of War, or whatever it may be. It's a good release, I guess.
Right, so. Yeah. I feel pretty much the same way. That's why I like Grand Theft Auto. I hate slow drivers more than anything else on Earth.
Yep.
Literally. See, Grand Theft Auto, he can rear-end them, shoot them, push them off the road. He can do it.
You can rip them out of their car.
Yeah, you can do it all from the safety of a video game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's our 30-second preview there, like Jeff Craig. Well, okay, so as far as video games that are violent, and we shouldn't just say violence, we should say, you know, language,
like,
and
nudity, whatever,
sexual
all
themes.
That stuff.
What are some games that you've played where you'd say that you think are, well, we could say not good for kids, and then
really over the top for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's start with kids. Like, what kind of games would you not let your kids, you know, if you ever squirted one out? Well, I mean, if your wife did.
Yeah, hopefully I don't. That wouldn't be cool.
You'd be like, Arnold, I'm pregnant.
I'm going to have a baby.
Emma Thompson, get over here. Jingle all the way. Anyway. Yeah, okay, what are some popular games that you would consider not appropriate for kids, just in your opinion?
Well, define kids. Are we saying, like, 12 and under, 10 and under, what? I mean...
Okay, well, yeah, like, yeah, start out with, like, you know, 12, 13 and under,
yeah.
And then maybe talk about at what point, you know, you'd be okay with your kids playing something like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or to a lesser extent, Halo.
Yeah, I think, like, for younger kids, especially, like, games like... the Call of Duties, and pretty much anything where you're, like, shooting humans, you know, the Grand Theft Auto games, obviously, I think you'd really have to take a long, hard look at whether or not you want your kids playing those, and if they are playing them, there damn well better be a parent there explaining, you know, that this is a fantasy world, or if it's Call of Duty, you know, you're replaying historical events and, you know, maybe fill the child in on the history to some extent of what's going on, and, you know, in real life, it's not cool to shoot somebody in the head, but in World War II, you had to do that to survive, so...
Right.
Because context is a lot of it, and, you know, younger kids don't necessarily get a lot of that, especially if their parents are not doing their part of the job, so...
Yeah, so if the video game system is the...
babysitter.
the electronic tit.
Or teat, as it were.
Well, but when we were kids, you know, we played games where they weren't violent because the graphics all sucked or weren't as good. So would you say, like, the advances of game consoles has made this more of an issue?
Yeah, I would say so, because you get the more lifelike graphics and things like that, you know. So it's, you know, it can be a bit more jarring depending on what the content of the game is when you see these things. So... you know, like, you shoot people in the head in games, you know, like in Call of Duty, their helmet goes popping off and stuff like that, you know, there's actually, and you see the blood fly out and whatever else, you know, where in the old games, you didn't have that level of control to be able to aim for the head or the arm or whatever, you know,
right.
And so you get that much more detail in the game if it kind of makes it closer to reality, which makes it more of an issue, I think.
I'd like to bring up a point, though, that I noticed, it's kind of minor, but there's a lot of video games. Well, not a lot, but some. There are video games like Call of Duty. Well, Medal of Honor is a good example. Same kind of game, except for there's, like, pretty much no blood at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty didn't have much blood. It's kind of like this mist that appears.
Yeah, it's fairly uncommon. So.
Right, but
not,
I know,
like,
but
Gears,
I'm just saying,
if,
as far as, like, the game is concerned, either just as a normal game or a multiplayer thing, at least you know that you've hit someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I liked about it.
Yeah, and I think the thing that people miss with a lot of this is it's, you know, these people, they get all worked up about this stuff. It's like, video games are, to me, they're a way to do things you wouldn't do in your normal life. You know, like you said, you hate slow drivers. Well, you're not going to go out and ram one off the road and put him in the ditch and, you know, all this stuff. But you get to do that in the game. You know, you have a bad day, you can go and do it, you know, and...
Yeah, that's why it's fun to, like, play it in a video game. Like, the point where I'll probably buy an Xbox 360 is probably next year when Grand Theft Auto comes out, and I think a lot of people are going to buy an Xbox 360. 2007 is going to be the year Microsoft cleans up.
Because it's still going to be a cheaper system, and you'll be able to get Grand Theft Auto on
and
the same
Halo
day.
3, and they say 3. Metal Gear Solid might come into it, which wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, that other Halo game they got coming out, that Halo Wars, the real-time
the
strategy one, that's coming out too. So, yeah,
yep.
So it should be a big year. But yeah, it's... you know, it's fantasy, you know, it's like, I love cars and all that, but I don't go out on the road and drive my car at 120 miles an hour. I might
play a video game to do that.
Yeah, I might like to, but I know I'd be endangering other people, including myself, and there's the potential that I'd get caught and I'd get a big ticket. Or if I come home and play my video game, I can drive like a goddamn madman, and there's no repercussions other than, you know, I might lose money in the game or something,
right.
You know?
Well, as these games become more realistic, they are pretty much looks like real life. I mean, more or less.
Yeah.
And that's a lot better than, like, Pole Position. Pole Position was a great game, but yeah, you know, you didn't really feel like you were there. But So these new games, they do provide, you know, good virtual reality environments. I mean, a person could even say to the effect of, if everybody's sitting at home playing World of Warcraft, you know, and fighting orcs and whatnot there, why would they go out and, like, you know, get in a bar fight or whatever? Because, you know, they never go outside, these people that play these games.
Nobody would be getting murdered and everything else.
And you know, that sounds like some sort of, like, you know, Matrix-type future.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, it's already headed that way. But I'm just saying, okay, granted, I mean, that would be a whole new set of problems. I mean, at some point, people would probably prefer that people go out and, like, stab each other in the kneecaps rather than everybody be zombies in front of their computers.
Yeah, that way you know they're alive, at least.
Yeah. But, you know, if you can take out your frustrations with using a simulation, that's obviously great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even better than, like, you know, smashing plates or something like that because there's no collateral damage.
Yeah.
So what kind of video games do you think you wouldn't even let your kids, if you had kids, like, play at all until they're, like, adults, like San Andreas or something?
Yeah, I mean, like, San Andreas is probably the closest thing. I'm a pretty liberal-minded guy when it comes to this stuff, so I figure as long as I'm there with my kids, I'll let them play about anything. I'll let them watch about any damn movie and all that, but... Like, I don't even know if I'd, you know, stop them from playing San Andreas, actually, even.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's definitely the sort of thing where I wouldn't just, you know, let Junior go off and sit in his bedroom and play San Andreas for, you know, hours on end without any sort of supervision, and then he comes out, you know, dropping F-bombs everywhere, and...
Yeah. Of course, if you say, you cannot do this... That gives them a very good target of what they want to do.
Yeah, which is why I wouldn't really want to
be
preventative in that matter.
Right.
'Cause I've seen, you know, how people I went to school with reacted when they were told they couldn't do things.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way. That's why drinking in high school is so popular. I still contend if they made the drinking age lower,
it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
'Cause the reason people do it is 'cause they're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
They'd find something else to go and do.
Meth!
Yeah.
San Andreas, I know it's kind of an older game now, but even beyond the hot coffee thing, which I don't think counts because you had to hack into it.
Yeah.
I mean, just the language, I mean, it was pretty over the top, you know? I mean, there was a lot of profanity. It's like, does it really need this much?
Yeah, and I never played through that whole game, so I didn't get that deep into it because it didn't hook
did. It tapers off. You know, once you get out of, like, the ghetto or whatever, it's not quite as... Yeah, but...
When you're out tooling around in the country.
Right. But it was almost like, you know, they went way... I mean, I thought Vice City was a... you know, it was rough, but it wasn't as rough as the later title.
Well, they were seeing how far they could push it, probably.
Right.
That's what they were doing.
But they went more for shock and, like, whatnot than just, like, humor.
Yeah.
In San Andreas. And I thought that was... I mean, I still liked the game a lot. I didn't like it as much as Vice City. After I beat it, I never really played it again. But I still thought, you know, maybe they went a little too far with this. Does it really need to be this much profanity and violence? And
Well, it gets into the thing where it's... You know, like with your World War II games, you know, they, you know, have their slang for the Germans and they actually say it in the games, you know, which is how it would have been, or, you know, they say shit or whatever, you know, but they don't go overboard with it. But, you know, when it's done properly, it makes you feel more like you're in the game because it's like when somebody's got somebody shooting at them, they're not going to go, oh, darn, you know, they're probably going to swear.
Call of Duty 2, the Russians do. Say, stop the fascists, like, a little excessively.
Yeah. But, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, so...
I agree.
And, like, in Gears of War, they swear a bit, but it's not overboard. They probably swear less than what Marines would really swear, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
From the Marines I've met, anyway. Nothing against Marines, I just, you know...
No, I agree with you. Or, whenever you see, like, a high school movie or something set in a bar... They never swear as much as they do in real life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or like, you know, like, reality is always worse, which could always be, it'd always be a fallback for all of this. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say I haven't seen things in a video game that, you know, aren't any worse than a locker room or whatever. Because, you know, like, yeah, chainsawing someone through the head or whatever is obviously that doesn't usually happen, you know, during FIAD. But,
I personally haven't seen that happen. But.
Yeah.
Well, you were going to talk, you had something about, you know, games that have been unnecessarily vilified.
Oh, over the years? Yeah. Night Trap's a great example. That was one of the first ones that, you know, I remember.
Yeah, was it you could see somebody's boob in one scene or something? And it was like all grainy and everything, so you couldn't even really see anything anyway.
I never saw that. I didn't get far enough, but it was nothing any worse than any 80s movie. Like, you know, I don't even think they even, I didn't never even saw anything. They might have got down to the brassieres, but there's no blood in it, nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a cheesy Ed Wood movie. I think it's a really cool game. It's interesting.
I remember that was just a huge thing, though, when that happened. You know, it was like everybody's like, oh, Night Trap, and then, you know, the value of it went up because they
But no
took
one
it
cares when Bruce Willis sticks an icicle into some guy's eye.
No.
Because that's in a movie. That's different.
And it's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Die Hard 2 for the uninitiated out there. So
I love when he sticks an icicle in that guy's eye and breaks it off, and he looks over at it, and he like gets disgusted by what he did.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The best thing about Bruce Willis is also Harrison Ford. That's one of his best traits. Is they look frustrated and disgusted and pissed very well. They basically react to things. That's basically how he acts, but. Anyway, what about Mortal Kombat, looking back now? It seems like, but that wasn't as big of a to-do, I don't think, as Night Trap.
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal, though, because of the blood. Like, the blood was the big thing, you know, and then, of course, you could rip somebody's heart out of their chest and all that. But, and I remember, like, when they brought it to the Super Nintendo, they had it with no blood in it, and they changed some of the finishing moves and everything. And the Genesis one stayed the same, so that was, like, the big...
And sold better.
Yes.
So when we got to Mortal Kombat 2... Nintendo let it
go, basically.
And it was a great port because obviously the Super Nintendo was a better system.
Yeah,
but yeah. So,
and
God,
it's like,
how
what's
old
the big
was
deal?
I when that game came out? I was, oh God, when was
when
that?
Did it come out? Like 93 or
no? I think it was
92.
Yeah, it was 92. I would have been 16.
15 then.
I was 16 when that came out. 16
yes, we're
or,
that old.
Yeah, 16. You know, it wasn't like my parents told me not to play it, and
yeah.
Who cares? I mean, I don't know.
I didn't even think it was that cool. I'm like, man, Street Fighter 2 pisses all over this thing.
Well, I think that now, but back in the day, you know, it was all the...
I mean, all it had was the blood and the finishing moves were like the big calling card for it. And
if you play it now, it's extremely
But like the gameplay
dated.
Wasn't very good. And yeah, like we talked about, I downloaded it on the Xbox Live thing and... I couldn't even play the thing for more than like 10 minutes. I was just like, God, this is awful.
Yeah, it plays like a pocket calculator game in retrospect.
Ugh. Or like Street Fighter 2 is fairly timeless, actually. Like you can still pick it up and it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, because it's got the cartoonish graphics and everything, I guess. But
Any other games that...
Well, we were talking about Bully earlier that seems to have been unnecessarily...
Oh, Bully. I thought you said Bowling.
No. Well, yeah, Wii Bowling has been, you know, put up there as a game that should
Isn't
not be played by
Isn't that finishing move
you
can take the bowling ball and, like, shove it through someone's head?
No, that's the Wiimote.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, that'll happen anyway.
Which I guess, in a way, is the bowling ball.
Yes, because everyone can beat me at Wii Bowling.
This much has been proven.
Yep, and I mean everyone.
Bully's been...
Well, I haven't played it, so I can't say.
Yeah, I haven't played it either, but from what I read reviews and all that, and it seems like it got pretty... It was basically Jack Thompson going, oh, it's from the guys that did Grand Theft Auto. They're setting it in a school, calling it Bully. It's got to be evil. But from what I've read, like, the worst weapon in the game is a slingshot. And
oh, no.
And the thing's rated teen by the ESRB, which, you know, take that for whatever it is, but, you know, they didn't rate it mature. So it must mean it's somewhat tame.
Well, it stars a kid. I mean, you're not going to have him shooting people.
Yeah, and from what I read, too, they said that you actually have to, like, go to class, and there's, like, repercussions if you don't go to class. Like, you have to go twice a day or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't go, you get detention and different things like that happen. So it actually kind of it kind of rewards good behavior, almost, I think, in some to some extent. But
well, so does Grand Theft Auto.
In its own way, yeah.
If you don't do things bad, it's easier. But if you run over civilians, you're going to have a harder time.
Yeah, because then you have the cops crawling all over you. But
yeah, yeah.
They probably just called it Bully to try to get, you know, notoriety. If they would have called it something else, it might not have gotten quite the
Yeah, I think in Europe it's called like Canon Catus Edit or something, which means dog eat dog in Latin or something. A nice one word title is a lot better for marketing, obviously. As far as things that are games I think are vilified, I don't know.
It just seems so pointless that you can't hardly even recognize the fact that they are vilified, because it's like, why?
Yeah, I mean, they have a rating system, you know, we have the First Amendment, you know, let it be. I mean,
kids have parents, let's give them some of the responsibility for...
because that's their job. I mean, it's not... Yeah. The ESRB doesn't squirt out kids and put shoes on their feet, that's the parents' job. And
doesn't put a 360 or a Wii or a PS3 in their living room. The parents do that, so.
Right, and, you know, you can't ask the government to do it, because the government doesn't rate movies either. I mean, some people probably don't realize that, but they probably think it, but it's done by an independent organization, just like the ESRB, because if the government did rate things, that would be bad.
That would be bad, yes.
Yes.
Big Brother.
I mean, we're not parents, so I'm sure some of you are thinking, what do you know, but. We can form opinions anyway. I mean, hell, I don't even like kids, as I was telling you tonight.
Yes. I think you even said that on one of the podcasts, too, before.
I think I cut it out, though. Oh. Except for now, we've heard it. Yeah, I was like, I cut out the part how I said I didn't like babies, and I liked Ooey Bowl movies because they were cheesy goodness, like pizza.
Well, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for Alone in the Dark. That was just bad.
Yeah. So Dungeon Siege doesn't come out till January or something?
I don't know, sometime next year. Hopefully it's soon.
I heard Halo 3 isn't coming out till like fall of next year. I thought it was spring.
It was spring, and now they're pushing it back to fall. And like Forza is supposed to be their big release for the spring, but who knows if that'll get pushed back or not.
Yeah.
So there's another big game that's coming out.
Do you remember any games in the 90s being really bad and violent? I'm sorry, the 80s.
In the 80s? I mean, Super Mario Brothers was pretty bad, but, you know, squashing those poor mushrooms and things.
Graphics are pretty much not good enough.
And I remember for the 3DO, I never played any of them, but they actually had, like, adult games for the 3DO that you could get. Like, there was one called, like, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, and...
What about Leisure Suit Larry?
For the PC. Yeah, that's an old school one. I played that a bit. It's kind of funny. You know, he's a little cartoon guy going around trying to pick up women in his own way. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, I think everybody gets a little, well, not everybody, I think it's, you know, like most things, there's a few very vocal individuals
that make it sound like there's more than there is.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what, just let the parents do some work. Everybody tries to blame mass media, whether it's movies, music, print or video games for everything. It's like, well, all this stuff has to get into the children's hands somehow, and that means somebody's not doing a good job of parenting or whatever. Not that it's all the parents' fault, but, you know, I think in a lot of cases people just kind of think, oh, I'll buy this movie or I'll buy this game, and, you know, little Junior can go off and amuse himself for hours, so I don't have to deal with him now, and I can relax. And so that's my two cents.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, yeah, we look at like Molly Hatchet now, and we think that's pretty ridiculous to go around smashing beer bottles and, in a craze. And, you know, probably 100 years from now, they'll probably think the same thing about, you know, people protesting violence in video games. I think part of it is maybe video games aren't considered to be art forms, although clearly they are.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, back when people were watching A Trip to the Moon on Edison's crappy projectors at Nickelodeon's, people didn't consider movies to be art. They're just, it was a novelty up on a screen. Now they're considered to be art. So I think, you know,
well, they have like
games will get their due.
Yeah, and they're starting to have like award shows and things for video games. So I think as, you know, that continues on, it'll help kind of validate them as a legitimate, you know, art form or, you know.
Right. Granted, they don't really have much stories and whatnot, but
well, some do. But
from an artistic standpoint, I mean, most games are much more artistic than movies. I mean, just art as face value art, you know, because everything has to be created, everything has to be drawn, designed. It's you know very artistic.
Well, you have all that. You have the music, like anymore. You know, the scores in some of these games, you know, rival a lot of movies.
Right, exactly. So, Yeah, so there's
And they get big name composers to do them anymore too. So mm-hmm. it's
well, sure, because you know, as I keep saying, that everything's just going toward video games.
Yeah, well, there's money to be made and more of it, I think.
Yeah,
compared to shitting out $200 million on, you know, Superman or whatever, and getting a fairly small return compared to dropping $35-40 million on, you know, Oblivion or whatever.
That would be
or
a
whatever.
Super expensive game if it was that much money.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, you sell, you know, you look at it, like, if you sell like Gears of War sold 1 million copies in 2 weeks, well, it's $60 a pop right there.
Actually, it's almost up to 2 million already.
Wow. So yeah, right there, that's like $120 million in like a month and a half.
Yeah, I think it's set some sort of record. Hmm. Of course, you don't hear about it because it didn't have the letters WII in it. And I don't mean Wisconsin abbreviated by a stuttering person. We also had a thing here. We're talking about the interpretation of bad elements. You know how some things seem worse or not as bad depending on who you are, which is a kind of an obvious statement, but it's something to consider.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, it's like look at the uproar when Janet Jackson's nipple popped out at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, you would have swore that somebody had like killed a baby on TV or something like that. I mean, the outcry
right.
was ridiculous. But, it's like, it's a boob.
But CNN can show pictures of torched contractors in Iraq. That's
yeah.
fine.
And that's no big deal.
Yeah, but a boob? No, never.
And a bunch of stations got fined over it. It's just ridiculous. But it shows that, you know, there's different interpretations of things. You know, like me,
right.
I think nudity, there shouldn't be any problem with it. It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, as long as it's, again, as long as it, like, serves the story or, you know, it fits in, that's fine. You know, nudity for the sake of nudity isn't necessarily a good thing.
Well, yeah, I don't exactly think Janet Jackson's boob fit any story or anything.
No, but still, was it really that big of a deal?
No, no. I mean, I've even seen football games, you know, if they don't, sometimes you hear the people on the field and they're all swearing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, F-bombs slip through and stuff, but.
Well, yeah, so now you have to have the dreaded 5-second delay on everything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the live video game or football games.
Why
did
they find Justin Timberlake for that?
Well, he helped the wardrobe malfunction happen.
Yeah, he's the one who did it. But why isn't it his fault?
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean, Janet Jackson isn't exactly my favorite singer, but I'll tell you what, she's got a lot more, I don't want to say weight.
Talent,
yeah. She's been around longer. I doubt Justin Timberlake will still be doing stuff in 20 years. Maybe he will. Or maybe he'll have in a low-rent apartment with K-Fed in the Catskills. I don't know. It's like shooting someone, then blaming them because they got hit by the bullet.
Yeah.
Our second topic is the ESRB ratings, which, what does it stand for? The Electronic Software Ratings Board?
Yep.
So I wrote down Electronic Software Ratings Board ratings. That's a little redundant.
Nice.
Yeah. Does the system work? Yeah. I guess the first thing you can say is all it does is stop underage kids from buying games.
As long as the store enforces it, anyway.
Right. It's the same thing as, you know, drinking age or cigarette age. Doesn't magically stop the kids from being able to, you know, consume those things. It just means they can't buy them.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously the only thing you can regulate. Do you think it's something that games needed to have because they didn't until about, well, strangely, about when Mortal Kombat Night Trap came out?
Yeah, because I saw
93.
Yeah, because I saw it on the site for it. You could go through and pick by platform, and they had, like, the Jaguar and the 3DO in the list.
Mm-hmm.
So even their game, like, actually, now that I think about it, I think Snatcher does have a rating on it.
Oh, so they have, like, every game ever, or quite a few, ever since the ratings started?
Ever since it started, yeah. So there's, like, tons of old systems on there. And
I seem to remember, I think the first game I ever saw with a rating on it was Jurassic Park for the Genesis, which I think came out in 93, like, the movie.
Yeah. I think it's something that was needed. I mean, it's, you know, just like,
you might as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with movies, you know, you have your rating system for those, and music, you don't have a rating system, but they have the explicit content label, so at least, you know, if somebody's, you know, going off on a profanity-laced tirade in it or whatever. I think the problem with it is that things are so open to interpretation, and it's not consistent between...
You're talking about on games?
Yeah, like, because it's like, what really is their criteria? You know, like, I've looked at the movie thing before, and it's like, supposedly you can avoid an R rating and get a PG-13 and have one F-bomb in it, but it can't be referring to sexual type innuendo.
Right,
it could be, you know, like, you know, F you or whatever, you know. But and that's fine. But you only do it once.
And every PG-13 movie uses
pretty
that.
Much does it.
It's
yeah.
like, well, we haven't used this yet. Let's throw that word in there because we can.
But it's like, what really are the criteria for the ESRB? I looked on their site and they kind of explained it. They say that sometimes they'll play the games and then the software vendor is required to give them basically a document that, like, they answer all these questions that they've got. I guess that the ESRB asked them all these questions. They got to go through and fill out this questionnaire. Then they have to provide them with a disc that has, like, all of the most objectionable content, I guess, you know, like the most violent or the mm-hmm. most sexual parts or whatever.
Which,
and then,
again, could be very, you know.
Yeah, it's up to whomever, you know, which, you know, caught Oblivion.
Right, you can have, like, an upside down cross in a video game. It doesn't involve blood or violence or swearing, but it might be offensive to someone.
Yeah, exactly. And then when it all gets said and done, they have, like, up to 3 people play the game, maybe in beta form or whatever, and then they review it. So they take basically these 3 people's professional trained opinions, and that's how they get the rating. So I guess if, you know, 2 people say mature and 1 says teen, it gets mature then. But it's kind of, and like we've talked about this before, I think it's kind of, it's too bad that they couldn't just use the movie rating system for games, because I think that resonates more with people, because it's been around longer.
Yeah.
You know, so if somebody knew that a game was rated R, well, they think of R-rated movies they've seen, you know, like Pulp Fiction or Animal House, whatever, and so they think, well, they'll kind of equate that to whatever this game is they're looking at, and maybe they'll think, yeah, my kid really doesn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they just seem mature, they're like, well, I don't know, my kid's kind of mature for being 13 years old.
Well, maybe that fits.
And it might fit. You yeah. know, it might. But, you know, it's... Or they might not think about it at all. They might be, what the hell's M mean, mild? And
yeah, it's taco sauce.
Yeah, so I...
Yeah, that's true. I think there's probably a decent share of parents that probably just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, my kid wants Halo. Whatever, I buy it.
Yeah,
sounds again,
good.
But then, of course, that puts the responsibility on the parent, so
yep,
that's
exactly.
fine.
Yeah, that's...
Well, and so now they I know they try to pass laws or they should fine employees for selling these games to underage kids, much like, you know, when they try to catch people selling cigarettes and booze to mm-hmm. underage kids. I actually got carded last week. Can you believe that? And I wasn't wearing a hat.
I can't remember where I was, but it was something like a month ago or whatever, and I got carded.
Really? Were you working on your beard at the time?
No. Now that I'm working on the beard, I bet you I won't be getting carded.
I know I need to get some Rogaine from my hairline because I usually only get carded if I'm wearing a hat. So. It's like, oh, look, this guy's got a receding hairline. He's clearly 21 or over. Buy all the booze you want.
Oh, he's wearing a hat, though. He's obviously young.
I'm not making that up.
Oh, I'm sure you're not.
And it makes me feel sad about my hair. Oh, well, at least I didn't shave it all off and try to fool people.
It's just like when I wear a sweatshirt and a stocking cap, people think I'm like some sort of thug or something.
Like with the beard or not?
No, without the beard even. At work, people are like... I actually had somebody say, you're looking kind of thuggish today, and I'm like, thanks.
The thuggy cult.
I'm like, yeah, don't screw with your computer, then you won't have to see me.
What do you think about this new trend where... If you can go into a game and hack it to find something bad, that makes it the game's fault and its ratings change. Obviously, I'm talking about
hot coffee
and the Oblivion thing.
One.
Because
don't know.
Other than that, what is... I mean, Oblivion is totally teen. I mean, is there even any blood in it? Or
yeah, there's blood.
There's not much blood.
Because when you're like up close and you hack somebody, it'll kind of splash on the screen and stuff.
Wasn't that bad, though, I didn't think.
No, it wasn't over the top, but... I don't know about these people. It's like to me, that's just stupid. Because how many people out there, quite honestly, you know, out of the 14 million people that bought San Andreas, how many of them are going to go to the time and effort to actually do that exploit? Not very many. And the ones that are, well, you know what? You can't stop everybody, I guess. So
well, in the time that it takes you to... look at the pixelated breasts in San Andreas, you could probably find 10 times as much smut on the internet.
That too.
I mean, what are they going to do, rate the internet next? 2 years later.
Yeah, give them time. They're working on it already.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, think about it. Is it going to come to a point where if there's anything remotely bad left on the game disc, are these companies going to have to, like, protect it? You know, like, make it hacker-proof just to keep people from making that stuff pop up in a game? And add to the cost in the development, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or will they have to put all sorts of warnings on the game, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Just some stupid...
Because what was it like in Oblivion? There was, like, leftover breast texture or something?
Yeah, I read something where people figured out how to get into, like, where
and
the
And I'm sure that was
clothing.
Just the PC version, too, not the...
Yep. But it was, like, they could get into the clothing and stuff, and it was, like, they could take the female texture or something like that, and they could make it... somehow make the clothing skin color or something. I can't remember what it was exactly. It was something along those lines. And so, in theory, all the female characters in the game could be made to look like they're walking around naked. And it's like, oh, heaven forbid. I love it, though, because, you know, it's like with any of this stuff, it's like, you know, not that violence should be, you know, stamped out or anything like that, but it's like people seem to get more bent out of shape if a boob shows up in something than if somebody's getting their head blown off. Or, you know, getting a sword driven through them or whatever it may be. And I just cannot fathom that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's, well, the way I was raised, that was always worse than violence.
Yeah.
In movies and games, but...
I think it's a pretty typical American upbringing. You know, most of the rest of the world, you got, you know, naked women selling orange juice and things, you know, in a lot of places.
Really?
And,
where?
I don't know, Germany maybe? I don't know. But... But, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you got billboards with naked people or
really?
Whatever and stuff like that. Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's like, here, it's like completely the opposite. And it's just ridiculous.
Well, maybe it has to do with the mostly basically Protestant background of
yeah.
our country.
Cause
it's I
like
mean,
most
it's like a cultural thing.
Oh, yeah, because like with us, you know, violence isn't as big of a deal where other countries, you know, view that as something... You know, more like how apparently people in this country view sex.
Right, well, like, yeah, Germany is the other way around. They're trying to pass some game laws over there that are positively draconian.
Yeah, I know, like, Dead Rising, they were... I can't remember if they even were able to release it there, but I know they were having a lot of troubles getting it through.
I can't remember the specifics, but it was something like a bill in Germany was banning any video game where any violence occurs to any human-like characters at all.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's come on. I mean, it's been a long time since the 40s Germany.
Yeah, it's okay.
That would be quite a blow because
yeah.
that's the third biggest economy in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
kind of
right
like
up
US
there.
US and Japan, and so that's a lot of unsold video games.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's an example of how, you know, they're choosing to try to legislate this away or whatever, kind of like how it could happen in our country, you know, because it's not completely absurd to think that somebody could bring out a law like that here, too, even though violence isn't as frowned upon it is in video games for whatever reason. In movies and other media, like getting back to the art form thing,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem like people frown on it quite as much with those. But when you get to video games, oh my god, the children might get involved here, and we got to protect the children.
Because they can't watch a movie, no. They can only play video games.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's because people think video games are only for children.
Yeah, it could be,
you know,
part
I
of
mean,
it too.
Same thing with, like, animation and whatnot.
Yeah.
That, you know...
That might have something to do with it. Although you'd think that'd start going away with the...
Well, it already has started going away, but the mindset in some people that have probably never touched a game in their life...
Yeah.
You know, the kind who have never smoked a cigarette but think it should all be banned because they don't agree with it.
Yes, exactly.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, it's...
Well, it's like the people that try to ban a movie without even seeing it.
Right.
You know, it's like, why don't you give it a shot? You know, you can mm-hmm. walk out if you don't like it, but at least try.
Right.
It's not going to kill you, I don't think.
No, it's, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think violence in video games is fine. I enjoy games that are violent because you said it's a fun release.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you don't want your kids to play violent video games, then, I don't know. I guess that's your problem, not EA's.
Yeah. Yeah, not Rockstar's problem or any of that. I mean, the only thing they have a liability for, I think, is, you know, that they have to be, you know, honest in what the content of their game is,
mm-hmm.
and not try to, you know, sugarcoat it or anything, but as long as they're up front and, you know, this is what the game is, and, you know, they're not advertising it in, like, kids' magazines, you know, and stuff like
Teen
that.
Teen Beat!
Yeah, you know, as long as they're not doing things like that, it's like, what the hell's the problem? Somebody needs to start putting the responsibility back in the
Well, remember
place,
the Joe Camel thing? Oh, it's a picture of a camel that someone drew. That's obviously meant to attract kids.
Yes.
Did you ever buy that crap?
No.
I mean, there's a picture of, like, Santa Claus drinking a Coke that was drawn.
Yeah.
I mean, is that because... It's the same thing. It's art.
Yeah.
Yes, there. I just called Joe Camel art.
Yes.
I don't give a shit.
Well, I thought he was cool when I was a kid, but I never smoked. You know, it didn't push me out to...
I always thought it was just like a camel and he's wearing leather jackets. That always kind of disturbed me. Did he have pants, too? Well, think about it. Did he have a hump? I mean, camels have humps.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
That's where he stored his smokes.
In his hump?
Yeah. He had a little zipper on it. Could get in there.
Okay,
easy access.
How about this? Kids are way more likely to smoke because of their parents than because of a drawing.
Yeah. Say that's accurate.
See, again, it's not Joe Camel's fault. Oh, boy. See, we haven't bashed the Nintendo or any other game system, so we're picking on all sorts of new taboo things to talk about.
Yeah, we're saying what no politician will ever say.
Nope.
It's much easier for them to blame big, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies
than
for all
this
stuff than
or,
voters, exactly.
Or slash parents. That's exactly it, because it's... Yeah, it's Exxon's fault or whatever. That gas is expensive. Not your SUV in the garage. It's not your fault. It's someone else's fault.
Exactly.
Always.
Yeah, it's either, you know, or it's the auto industries. They did blame the auto industry a lot, and it's like, well, you know what? They're building the shit that people want to buy.
Yep, that's what the Ford dude said. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they don't build crap not to sell it.
Exactly. Right, so, do we have any closing things to say about this? if we have any listeners left, but...
Oh, I'm sure we do. A lot of them out there play violent games, I know that, and I'm sure they're not violent people at heart, you know? It keeps me from going postal, you know? Come home and, you know, blow away whatever sort of faction I need to blow away to make me feel better, and... But I'm usually pretty good after about an hour or two of that on my bad days at work.
Yeah.
Or if I didn't do that. You know, a lot of people in this country, and of course I'm talking about America mostly, maybe in other countries it's like this too, I don't know, but it seems like a lot of people in this country, they bottle up a lot of things, and they don't have a release for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody talks to anybody anymore. And,
right.
And so... You need some sort of release, and if it's a damn video game, then so be it. It's a lot better than some guy going into work the next day and shooting up a bunch of people and then blowing his brains out. Well, it's like with anything else. Like Dale was saying earlier, Stephen King, somebody asked him one time, you know, about if he felt any sort of guilt or any sort of responsibility for maybe somebody going out and killing someone if they had read his book. And he was like, no, because... You got to figure that person had some mental issues,
right.
And they were going to do something, whether you know, irregardless of whether or not they read my book or not.
Right?
So.
You know, if they don't have a concept of right from wrong, it doesn't. There's already, yeah. I mean, maybe the video game gives them the idea, but it's still their fault because they're not capable enough of knowing the difference.
Yeah.
But in the same token, people have been murdered long before.
Yeah.
Movies, television, video games, or the wheel.
Well, the problem with legislating this stuff is it's, I think part of it is too that we try to insulate people so much from everything. You know, it's like they try
protecting them from themselves.
Pass all these laws for everything, and you can only protect people from themselves so much, and if people become so insulated, they don't know what the consequences may or may not be for certain
actions.
Yeah,
I could stick that toothpick right there into my skull. I mean, no law is going to stop me from doing it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as I mean, the laws have really stopped the drug problem.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow, we made all these drugs hard to get. Oh, look, people are making drugs out of Sudafed. Wow, way to go.
We better put that behind the counter now.
They probably will.
They have.
Like, well, we got to put you on the Patriot Act for buying Sudafed.
They have, actually, with that stuff. If you go into, like, Walgreens or whatever now. Yeah, the stuff that, whatever, it's like pseudoephedrine or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anything that's got that in it, if you go to Walgreens, they just have like the little cards, like they used to have at Toys R Us for the video games way back when you pulled the slip out.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to grab that thing, go to the counter, and
then rent your medicine.
And then they sell it to you. Yeah. I mean, it's.
But yeah, if you don't think your kids should play violent games, and I guess, you know, take enough interest in their life.
Yeah.
And you know what? But if they want to play violent games and you don't want them to, so don't just tell them not to do it, but, like, you know, do other stuff with them, like build a sailboat or something. I don't know. You can't just lock them away in a room and expect them to, like, entertain themselves, you know, the remote control parenting or whatever.
Or, you know, go play catch with them or something.
Yeah.
Ride bikes, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just...
Because, yeah, if you go and say, no, you can't do that, but then, you know, go sit in your room, well, they're going to have a friend or whatever that's, you know, got this, and they'll find a way. It's right. Not that hard.
Yeah. But the violence in games is fun because it's makes it interesting and stress relieving. It's better to do it in simulation than for real, as I mentioned earlier.
Everything's fine in moderation, as I always say. It's like, you know, whether you like to drink or whatever, as long as you do any of that crap in moderation, it's not too bad for you.
I think if anyone were to sit around playing violent video games like 24/7, could probably have a ill effect on them.
Yeah, they probably could get a kind of warped view of reality from that, I would
say. But again, if you play video games 24/7, you have another problem.
Yes.
All right, well, if we have any listeners left, we'll see you we'll see you on the next podcast, which will be the first one of 2007. I'm not sure what the topics are. If you have any ideas, email them to us. My email address is on my site.
Yes.
Can't remember what it is from memory.
Probably like Ben Hackett. Is it the charter one? Or?
Yeah, I don't. I like the benjamin.heckendorn@gmail.com.
Oh, yes, that
That's
one.
That's pretty good. It's kind of long, but I should get a new one that just says benhack@gmail.com.
But yeah, so give us some ideas, because, you know, I'm sure you guys have things you'd like to hear what we have to say about them, because we don't get on the forums all the time to talk crap, so.
Oh, I did see someone mention that. They wonder why I don't talk about my own projects on my podcast.
Yeah, you probably talk about them enough in your articles and everything,
exactly.
Don't you?
Maybe I want to talk about something else.
Yeah, you pretty much live your portables, so.
If you met Steven Spielberg on the street, I mean, do you think he'd want to talk about nothing but his movies? That's what you'd want to talk about.
Yeah.
But is that what he wants to talk about? Probably not. Yeah. All right, so we'll talk to you next time, and don't send us too much hate mail.
Happy holidays.
Yep, and a blessed new year or something.